Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 54. Well, actually, I'm just going to read the purport, the translation, because there's no purports in the next two verses. The inhabitants of Vaitalika Loka said, "My dear Lord, because of your chanting your spotless glories in great assemblies and arenas of sacrifice, we were accustomed to great respect from everyone. This demon, however, usurped that position. Now, to our great fortune, you have killed this great demon exactly as one cures a chronic disease." Text 55. The Kanaras said, "O Supreme Controller, we are ever-existing servants of your lordship. But instead of rendering service to you, we're engaged by this demon in his service, constantly and without remuneration. This sinful man has now been killed by you. Therefore, O Lord Nrisimhadeva, our master, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please continue to be our patron." Text 56. Shri Vishnu Parishad Uchu Adyaita Dari Nara Rupa Adbhutam Te Tishtam Sharanad Sarvaloka Sharma So yam te vidyakara isha vipra shaptas. Tasyedam nidanam anugrahaya vidma. Shri Vishnu Parishad Uva Uchu. The associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka said, "Adya, today, etat, this, Harinara, of half lion and half human being, Rupam, form, Adbhutam, very wonderful, Te, your, drishtam, seen, naha, of us, sharnada, the everlasting bestower of shelter, sarvaloka sharma, which brings good fortune to all the various planets, saha, he, I am this, te, of your lordship, adhikara, order carrier, servant, isha, O Lord, vipra shapta, being cursed by the brahmanas, tasya, of him, idam, this, Nidanam, killing, anugrahaya, by the special favor. Vidmaha, we understand." Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka offer this prayer. O Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Nrisimhadev, meant for the good fortune of all the world. O Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu was the same Jai who engaged in your service, but was cursed by the Brahmins, and thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed by your special mercy upon him. Purport, Hiranyakashipu's coming to this earth and acting as the Lord's enemy was prearranged by Jai and Vijay. was prearranged. Jai and Vijay were cursed by the Brahmana Shanaka, Sanatan, Sanat Kumara, Sanandana, and Sanatana, because Jai and Vijay checked these four Kumaras. The Lord accepted this cursing of his servants and agreed that they would have to go to the material world and would then return to Vaikuntha after serving the term of the curse. Jai and Vijay were very much perturbed, but the Lord advised them to act as enemies, for then they would return after three births. Otherwise, ordinarily, they would have to take seven births. With this authority, Jai and Vijay acted as the Lord's enemy, and now that these two were dead, all the Vishnu Dutas understood that the Lord's killing of Hiranyakashipu was special mercy upon them. This ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Nrisimhadev Slays the King of the Demons. We just spent probably a month and a half, and finally, not only is Nrisimhadev has killed Hiranyakashipu, but it took around a month for the demigods to finish offering all their prayers. And finally, the Vishnu Dutas are also offering their prayers. And everyone is seeing everything from their perspective. Generally, the demigods, they want to be free to have sense gratification. That's why they worked hard to become demigods. On the other hand, others, well, that's mainly all the Kshanas, the Vidyadharas, etc. They perform sacrifice on this planet or to be elevated to heavenly planets. But somehow or another, they got there at the wrong time. And so instead of being free to enjoy sense gratification, they became servants of Hiranyakashipu. So it's quite disappointing. It's like paying for an apartment and you walk into the apartment and the ceiling caves in. You probably want your money back. But if there's no one to get your money back from, you're out of luck. Therefore, the Kanaras or the Yakshas, they were carrying the palanquin of Hiranyakashipu without any pay. Everyone in the material world wants something for what they're doing. But here we find that finally we have the Vishnu Dutas, they're giving their perspective on the whole thing. From their point of view, this is just an arranged pastime. Krishna is Daksha, so when he arranges pastimes, they fulfill multiple purposes. One is to show that even if you become the most powerful demon, and even if you get the benedictions from the most powerful person in the universe, if you offend a devotee, then your life is finished. Obviously, Hiranyakashipu was a great offender anyhow. He offended all the demigods, but it didn't seem to be affecting him very much. Although it is said that he was taking a lot of intoxication, so obviously he was in anxiety. If you don't act nicely towards people, it doesn't matter how powerful you are, you can't be happy. If you love only your false ego, there's not much to love. And therefore, although he was so powerful, he was also completely in anxiety. He wasn't happy. Still, everyone in the material world is trying to become powerful, hoping that that will make them happy, but no one has ever succeeded in such an endeavor. And Hiranyakashipu is the shining example of how material wealth and opulence and power doesn't satisfy one. And usually it makes one more envious and proud, and therefore one will commit offenses against other living entities and eventually fall down. So that's one thing. The other thing is, it is said that Krishna wanted to fight, because I don't think Krishna arranges pastime just because he wants to fight. But it's interesting to Krishna also, if he's going to fight, He's not going to pick on some bully down the block. He's going to fight with someone who gives him a little interesting fight. And therefore, no one in this material world, this tiny little material world, is very much interesting for fighting for Krishna, fighting against Krishna. Because Krishna did fight against Jambavan for, I believe, 27 or 29 nights, days and nights continuously. So Jambavan seemed to have given him some kind of fight. Not really, but anyhow. Jambavan realized that although they're hitting each other continuously for 29 days and nights, that this person he was hitting didn't get the least tired, although all his muscles were slackened and he couldn't continue on. So he realized this must be God. Only God can fight 29 days and nights in a row and not get tired. Still, Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary personality, and he lost, and therefore what to speak of ourselves? We're fighting with a material nature, hoping that we might be victorious, but everyone loses. Although the fight will continue on due to illusion, everyone thinks that they're the victims. Well, actually, they're fighting against material nature, every living entity in this material world, and therefore receiving the reaction for their fight against material nature. Still, Krishna wanted to fight, therefore Jaya and Vijaya volunteered actually, come down for three verse. But considering that they're only here for three births, it was practically nothing. For us it's quite important, but for them it was practically just like blinking their eyes. At 311 trillion, 40 billion years, it's just an exhalation of Mahavishnu. They're coming from Vaikuntha. So who's to say what the time is in Vaikuntha? How much insignificant just a few thousand years on this planet or in this universe would be. It's practically nothing. They probably sneezed and they were back again. In any case, during that time, there were some interesting pastimes that went on for the sake of the enlightenment of the conditioned souls. And therefore, from the point of view of Vaikuntha, this was all Krishna's arrangement. And Jaya and Vijaya were enforced to come. They were volunteers. Simply to please Krishna. And indeed, Krishna was pleased. And therefore, very quickly, they came back to the spiritual world. I guess we can just read the chapter 9. Prahlada is going to pacify the Lord with prayers. So it's a pretty long chapter too. The Lord's pretty angry, so it's going to take Prahlada a while to pacify him. It's as long as this chapter. Took him a month and a half to kill him. It's going to take him a month and a half to pacify him. So I'll start reading the summary. As related in this chapter, Prahlad Maharaj, following the order of Lord Brahma, pacified the Lord when the Lord was extremely angry after having killed Hiranyakashipu. So these are very important prayers in this chapter. Prabhupada recited them often. After Hiranyakashipu was killed, the Lord continued to be very angry. And the demigods headed by Lord Brahma could not pacify him. Even Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the constant companion of Narayan, could not dare come before Lord Narsingadev. When Lord Brahma asked Prahlad to go forward, pacify the Lord's anger, Prahlad, being confident of the affection of his master, Lord Narsingadev, was not afraid at all. He very gravely appeared before the Lord's lotus feet and offered him respectful obeisances. Lord Nrisimhadeva, being very much affectionate towards Prahlad Maharaj, put his hand on Prahlad's head, and because of being personally touched by the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj immediately achieved Brahma Jnana, spiritual knowledge. Thus he offered his prayers to the Lord in full spiritual knowledge and full devotional ecstasy. The instructions given by Prahlad Maharaj in the form of his prayers are as follows. Prahlad said, "I'm not proud of being able to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I simply take shelter of the mercy of the Lord. For without devotion, one cannot appease him. One cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by dint of high parentage or great opulence, learning, austerity, penance, or mystic power. Indeed, these are never pleasing to the Supreme Lord, for nothing can please him but pure devotional service. Even if a non-devotee is a brahmana qualified with the 12 brahminical symptoms, he cannot be very dear to the Lord, whereas if a person born in a family of dog-eaters is a devotee, the Lord can accept his prayers. The Lord does not need anyone's prayers, but if a devotee offers his prayers to the Lord, the devotee benefits greatly. Ignorant persons born in low families can sincerely offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord, and the Lord will accept them. As soon as one offers his prayers to the Lord, he is immediately situated on the Brahman platform. Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared for the benefit of all human society, not only for Prahlad's personal benefit. The fierce form of the Lord Nrisimhadeva may appear most awful to a non-devotee, but to a devotee, the Lord is always affectionate, as he is in other forms. Conditioned life in the material world is extremely fearful. Indeed, a devotee is not afraid of anything else. Fear of material existence is due to false ego. Therefore, the ultimate goal of life for every living entity is to obtain the position of being a servant of the servant of the Lord. The miserable condition of the living entities in the material world can be remedied only by the mercy of the Lord. Although there are so-called material protectors, like Lord Brahma and other demigods, or even one's own father, they are unable to do anything if one is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one who has fully taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet can be saved from the onslaught of material nature. Therefore, every living entity should be unattracted by material so-called happiness and take shelter of the Lord by all means. That is the mission of human life. To be attracted by the sense gratification is simply foolish. Whereas one is a devotee of the Lord or is a non-devotee does not depend upon one's birth in a high or low family. Even Lord Brahma and the goddess of fortune cannot achieve the full favor of the Lord, whereas a devotee can very easily obtain such devotional service. The Lord's mercy is bestowed equally upon everyone, regardless of whether one is in high or low. Because Prahlad Maharaj was blessed by Narada Muni, Prahlad became a great devotee. The Lord always saves the devotee from impersonalists and voidists. The Lord is present in everyone's heart as a super soul to give the living entity protection and all benefits. Thus the Lord acts sometimes as a killer and sometimes as a protector. One should not accuse the Lord for any discrepancies, for his plan that we see the varieties of life within this material world. All of them are ultimately his mercy. Although the entire cosmic manifestation is non-different, the material world is nonetheless different from the spiritual world. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can one understand how the wonderful material nature works. For example, although Lord Brahma appeared from the lotus seat that had grown from the abdomen of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he could not understand what to do after his appearance. He was attached by two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, who took away Vedic knowledge, but the Lord killed them and entrusted to Brahma the Vedic knowledge. Thus the Lord appears in every millennium in the society of demigods, human beings, animals, saints, and aquatics. All such incarnations are meant to protect the devotees and kill the demons. But this killing and protecting does not reflect any sense of partiality on the part of the Lord. The conditioned soul is always attracted by the external energy. Therefore, he is subjected to lust and greed, and he suffers under the conditions of material nature. The Lord's causeless mercy upon his devotee is the only means by which to get out of material existence. Anyone engaged in glorifying the Lord's activity is always unafraid of this material world, whereas one who cannot glorify the Lord in that way is subjected to all lamentation. Those interested in silently worshiping the Lord in solitary places may be eligible for liberation themselves, but a pure devotee is always aggrieved to see others suffering. Therefore, not caring for his own liberation, he is always engages in preaching by glorifying the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, had tried to deliver his class friends by preaching and had never remained silent. Although being silent, observing austerity and penances, learning the Vedic literature, undergoing ritualistic ceremonies, living in a solitary place and performing japa and transcendental meditation are proved means of liberation that are meant for non-devotees or for cheaters want to live at the expense of others. Pure devotee, however, being freed from all such deceptive activities, is able to see the Lord face to face. The atomic theory of the composition of the cosmic manifestation is not factual. The Lord is the cause of everything, and therefore he is the cause of this creation. One should therefore always engage in devotional service by offering respectful obeisances to the Lord, offering prayers, working for the Lord, worshiping the Lord in the temple, always remembering the Lord, and always hearing about his transcendental activities. Without these six kinds of activity, one cannot attain to devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj has offered his prayers to the Supreme Lord, begging his mercy at every step. Lord Nrisingadeva was pacified by Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, wanting to give him benedictions by which Prahlad could procure all kinds of material facilities. Prahlad Maharaj was not misled by material facilities. Rather, he wanted to remain always a servant of the servant of the Lord. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.